Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we got a great message on the Montana Talks app that just came in from Evan in Belt. In the 6 o'clock hour towards the end, I was talking about Interior Secretary Doug Burgum's interview on Fox News Sunday. Evan says this, "You said it right, Aaron. While I appreciate greatly President Trump working diligently to reduce the price of groceries, China truly is steamrolling us on the coal energy when we have Colstrip and are finally now under good leadership starting to expand it again." Evan says, "Maybe we should be less concerned about the price of eggs and more about the bigger issues. By the way, if you think the price of eggs was too high, try raising them yourself, from fertilization to incubation to raising and feeding them. Those that were screaming the loudest about the price they paid for their eggs were probably the ones who are the first to keep up on the latest iPhone and get their daily $7 coffee." What a joke. That was from Evan in Belt. We've got Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal here every Monday morning. We've talked about everything from the price of eggs to coal and Colstrip and much more. Evelyn, hope you had a great Easter. Glad to have you on the show this morning.
Well, thank you. I did. Had a very nice day, eating lots of food and being with family. So it was a great day.
Well, good to hear. Yeah, we did. We had some friends cook up some poor man's prime rib on Saturday night, and then we cooked up some steaks last night. So it was a good Montana beef weekend. What's the good news story to start with here this morning?
Well, I think it has to be, given how many years we have watched this develop and been waiting to see some benefits from it, but the Montana Department of Transportation is planning to open on July 3rd the bypass corridor across the Yellowstone River, which will connect Johnson Lane and Lockwood to 5 Mile Road in the Heights. And there are still aspects of construction of the overpass that has to be completed, which are impacted by weather, but the opening of that section is expected for July 3rd, and it's the third phase in the sixth phase Billings Bypass Project, which, you know, when I came here, gosh, 40-plus years ago, that was one of the first news stories I worked on, was planning for the bypass, and it's been a long time ago, and it's kind of exciting to see the bridge opening. And one of the things they expect us to be helpful of is the north-south truck traffic. They can avoid going into the downtown traffic or Main Street traffic. They can just swing out and go onto 5 Mile Road and avoid all the heavy traffic.
So, yeah, that's going to be
and
huge.
And the next portion of that project, it will begin building next spring, which would be building the new interchange at Lockwood.
Interesting. Yeah, and that's a wild interchange they're building there. But I remember at least hearing about the early design plans on that one. Yeah, that's going to be huge for that traffic coming from northern Montana, central Montana, pushing south.
All right, here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. It's going to remain cloudy today. We'll see some scattered rain showers in the form of some wet snow in some areas towards Bozeman early on. High temperature readings will otherwise range from about 48 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in the Billings area. For tonight, still some possibility for a few rain showers early, then headed back in the mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Media Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
It was a dramatic shift in strategy. One day, reporters asked President Trump about the wrongly deported Maryland man, Abrego Garcia, and he said, I'm not involved in that. Talk to the lawyers. The next day, the president came out and went on and on for 10 or 15 minutes about how this is a violent man.
That prisoner's record is unbelievably bad.
How he should never be allowed back into the country. All of the reasons that he says that Abrego Garcia is a gang member. And the reason is he decided the story has gotten so big. Plus, he was angry at Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen for going to visit in a photo op with the deported man.
They're all fake. And they have no interest in that prisoner.
That he must have concluded that this was the way to go, that the story was so huge that he had to grab it and that most people would agree with him. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
Ooh! What about the tiny dog? Cat. Ow!
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale sound.
To the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit NHTSA.gof.
/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, lots to talk about here with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. Always want to get her take on the business news headlines of the day, but also she has good political insight as well. So want to get her take on what's going on in the state legislature in Helena. First, though, Evelyn, you and I were talking during the break. I was talking about electricity and how at this point, the Silicon Valley crowd, especially when it comes to the race for artificial intelligence and that technology, they are so desperate for electricity now. There's no more virtue signaling about where the electricity comes from anymore. In fact, they are so desperate for electricity and for power and the AI race that there's people that are talking behind the scenes about not just the fact that now we've got Trump working to save Coal Strip 3 and 4, but people are talking about, hey, maybe we need to get 1 and 2 back up and running again, that the Democrats and the environmentalists shut down, because that's how much the need for power is out there.
Yes. In fact, I think if you look closely, we're seeing a change in how the whole country is delivering power to everybody. One of the more recent articles is that a data center has announced that they're going to locate in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And one of the things they mention as a reason is that Wyoming is a cold climate. Well, guess what? So is Montana. And we're going to have data centers looking very closely at Montana. But the data centers, they need energy, and a lot of it. And there's a whole lot of pressure for these states, cold or not, to have a whole lot of electricity. And I think this is just a very interesting development for especially for the anti-fossil fuel crowd, because there's no way that wind and solar alternatives can generate at a consistent level the energy that is needed for a data center. And they're just not going to accept that. And what I see happening here is a door opening in how energy industry is going to work in the future. These companies, they need to have enough energy, and they have enough resources not to be dependent on the public utilities or the national grid. They are forging new approaches, which will probably mean more nuclear power because it seems to be the direction they're headed, and it's a reliable energy source, and it has new technology, and you know, the more people adapt using it, the cost of it's going to come down. So I kind of think that's the direction they're going to be headed, but it's an economic force that the politics of alternative green energy is going to lose out to, because, well, basically the economy is going to demand it, and so is future technology.
Yeah.
And I think it's an exciting thing to see because it diversifies our energy sources and makes more sources possible, so that if one fails, everybody isn't impacted. You know,
it's kind of back to reality. It's back to reality, away from this fantasy la la land that we had been living in for, it seems like, the past couple of decades, with this Green New Deal type of this green energy fantasy. Which is, and now we're coming back to reality. In fact, yeah, Oracle, which of course has a big operation in Bozeman, they've been basically building their own small scale nuclear reactors to power some of their operations, right? Because that's how much they need electricity. That's how much they need power, and so that's where it's at right now. Speaking of Colstrip, I did see Representative Gary Perry out of Colstrip, the Montana Television Network, had a story about how two nuclear energy bills are headed to Governor Gianforte's desk. So, because, you know, we've talked about making Colstrip an energy hub, not just for coal power and coal mining, but potential small-scale nuclear opportunities there as well. And I know there's been chatter about potential data centers tying in to an expanded Colstrip as well. But in reality, like we shouldn't just be fighting and playing defense to save things like jobs at places like Colstrip. We really should be going on the offense because they're that desperate for power right now.
Right, and it's just going to get more and more desperate. The technology of the future, if we're going to be a part of that, we need energy. And I certainly hope that we're not going to stand here and let green energy alternatives that aren't really alternatives stand in our way, because, you know, it's the biggest way of becoming a weak country and not being economically viable in the trade of the world. Because I'm sure this isn't just happening here. I'm sure that around the world people are looking at the same issue. So,
oh, exactly. Except for they're actually, you know, been able to do something about it. Well, we've got environmental activists in the Democrat Party kneecapping our economy and undermining electricity production in America. The Chinese have been full speed ahead. Full speed ahead. I'll have to look back at the specific numbers that Interior Secretary Doug Burgum shared on Fox News Sunday yesterday morning, because it should be eye-opening to a lot of folks. Of course, nuclear is a long way off from really being, you know, from really taking care of our electricity needs here in America, which is why we need coal and everything else. Let's see. Evelyn Pyburn in the hot sheet this morning for the Big Sky Business Journal looks at the numbers. What kind of a tax hike would there be if the Trump tax cuts are not made permanent this year? You know, all this talk about tariffs, this would have a massively negative impact on the economy if a tax hike were to go forward. Hold that thought.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich.
You ask people what the problem is with healthcare, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
This is House Call for Health. Health officials are working to stop a growing number of measles cases across the country. The CDC says there have been some 800 confirmed infections in over two dozen states this year, mainly impacting children. About 97% occurred in people who are unvaccinated or whose vaccination status is unknown. And with resources stretched thin, officials like Dr. Amish Adalja with the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security warn infections are likely being underreported.
There's lack of diagnostic testing, people not coming forward to be tested.
While there is no specific treatment for measles, public health officials say getting vaccinated remains the best way to protect yourself. Last week, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. encouraged people to get the vaccine, but says communities can't simply rely on it.
We need to also make sure that doctors know how to treat measles and how to treat the associated disease.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Foot and mouth disease is making headlines across Europe. Since March, Hungary and Slovakia have reported multiple outbreaks. Hungary alone has culled over 4,000 cattle. Slovakia has declared a state of emergency. And Germany, having its first case of FMD since 1988, reported in January, was officially declared by the World Organization for Animal Health as FMD-free after months of culling and biosecurity measures just last week. In response to the European crisis, countries like Austria and the UK have closed borders or banned certain imports. Here in the U.S., USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service is taking action. Imports of live animals and germplasm from affected areas are restricted. And U.S. Customs and Border Protection are screening international cargo to prevent contamination products from entering the country. The United States eradicated foot and mouth disease in 1929, and with strong biosecurity and producer awareness, officials are working hard to keep it that way. An outbreak of foot and mouth disease in the U.S. could have catastrophic economic consequences. Estimates suggest that such an event could cost the U.S. economy between $2 billion and over $200 billion, depending on the outbreak scale and response effectiveness. Humans cannot get FMD, but it does spread rapidly among animals through saliva, mucus, milk, feces, and even in the air in some cases. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, let me read from the transcript here of Interior Secretary Doug Burgum's conversation on Fox News Sunday yesterday morning. China opened up enough coal plants last year to power all of California and all of New York, 94 gigawatts of electricity. And they've got 30 nuclear plants. They've got how many different new coal plants up and running? And yet here we are just fighting. And thankfully with President Trump, we've got a fighting chance now, just fighting to hold on to what we got. But yeah, now with Silicon Valley getting desperate for electricity, I think they're going to be demanding even more of it. And they're less and less concerned by the day with where it's coming from. All right, Evelyn Pyburn with the Big Sky Business Journal. So you've got an update here on what a tax hike would look like if the Trump tax cuts are not made permanent. We're still waiting on that to get across the finish line back in Washington, D.C. Your thoughts on that? And then also, God, what about the state legislature in Helena, this massive spending spree they went on where a handful of Republicans teamed up with Democrats, with a massive spending increase last week, and we're still waiting on tax relief out of the legislature. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, I think the problem in the state legislature is they keep on talking about, I mean, the people, anyhow, are talking about tax cuts. And that's not what the legislature is looking at. They're just wanting to shift taxes around. And to me, it's kind of a shell game in which a lot of people are being duped into think they're doing something they're not. And economically, in our whole economy, it doesn't matter if you get a tax break and I don't, or I get a tax increase. Economically speaking, the impact is just the same as if nothing, no one had a tax cut. So they're really not doing what people think is going on there. So, you know, no wonder they're in turmoil, because I just don't think that we're getting tax cuts. And, it was pointed out by one legislator that if you get a tax cut on your home, on your residence, under one bill anyhow, that you could very well, your tool shed on another lot could have a tax increase, because it would be considered a second building, a second home or whatever. And, you know, that kind of shifting around doesn't fool anybody, and it doesn't help.
And when overall, we have such a massive budget surplus, why are we talking about raising taxes on any structure, anybody, any business? Like, give property tax relief. You don't have to raise something over here to lower residential property taxes over here. We have a massive budget surplus right now. Give us our money back. Give the relief. And same thing with across the board income tax cuts as well. Just get the relief done, get it across the finish line. But instead, all we see is massive spending bills, a handful of Republicans teaming up with Democrats to get their massive spending wish list. And I just wonder who's all lining their pockets out of all this stuff. Certainly not us.
And it's certainly taking care of our surplus, all that spending, you know. So, And the thing is, too, and this is just so true, and I just think it's so frustrating that people don't recognize it and a lot don't believe it, but if you have a tax cut, nationally, historically, at every time they do it, they get more tax revenue, because that leaving that money in the hands of people who are producing and working hard and generating more wealth, it creates more tax revenues. And it's just not going to hurt the state like everybody seemingly thinks it's going to.
Yeah.
So,
And I looked at the governor had this press conference last week with, you know, his update on what he believes should be the to-do list for the state legislature. Reduce property taxes, limit spending, cut income taxes, reform the judiciary, and increasing starting teacher pay. And it's like, heck, four out of those five bullet points don't have a check mark next to them. And it's these very, nine Republicans who claim that they're supporting the governor's agenda that are not delivering on any of that. All they did was deliver for the Democrats massive spending hikes last week. And it's so frustrating. Federal tax hike. If we don't get the Trump tax cuts made permanent, how bad could it get? I mean, far bigger of a news story than the tariff conversation, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's really strange that there's not much mention of this in the media. But the Trump tax cut was $5.8 trillion over 10 years, and that cut is going to expire at the end of this year unless Congress votes to permanently extend it. And NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, they're really concerned about it. They point out that in Montana, 136,000-plus small businesses could face higher taxes if it doesn't get permanently voted for.
All right, hold that thought. Evelyn, if you can, stick with us. I got to hit the Fox News update. Burns able to stick with us there. So, Evelyn, yeah, you've got all the numbers here in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet here this morning. But, yeah, 136,000-plus small businesses could face significantly higher taxes if the Trump tax cuts are not made permanent this year. Yeah, where's all the Where's all the sob stories in the local TV stations and the local newspapers? I mean, you know, they interviewed breweries. Well, what's going to happen to their cans of beer if tariffs go through? But, man, tax hikes, like it's like the media never wants to focus on the negative impacts of tax hikes.
And really, they're no different than the tariffs, because it does exactly the same thing. It's a tax. And one of the things the NFIB points out is that the corporate tax rate in Montana would remain relatively low to what Montana businesses will have to pay. So the corporate tax rate would remain at 27.75%, while Montana businesses would surge to 45.5% if they don't make this tax cut permanent. And the benefit from making it permanent is over the next 10 years, Montana would gain 5,000 new jobs each year, and our GDP, our gross domestic product, would increase $244 million for the first decade and $503 million per year beyond 2035. And if you think, well, this is just business and it doesn't extend to you, the fact of the matter is the average taxpayer will see a 22% tax hike if this is not made permanent. And their guaranteed deduction will be slashed in half, and child care credit will also be reduced from $2,000 to $1,000 per child. So this would have huge impact immediately.
Oh yeah, it's almost as if the Democrats and the majority in the media, that they have no problem taxing you and taxing us, but by golly, you want to put reciprocal tariffs in place against somebody else. You want to tax the Chinese. You want to tax the Europeans that are blocking American beef, and they kick and they scream when we want to tax China or tax the anti-American beef Europeans. But then these same folks in the media have no problem with them taxing you and potentially raising your taxes by 22%. Crazy. All right, Evelyn Pyburn, great reporting as always. Make sure you sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet. Get it in your email inbox every... You'll have it ready for you Monday morning. And then the print edition is an incredible stack of information as well for the Big Sky Business Journal. So always appreciate Evelyn joining us on the show. Let's see. Should we talk about, hey, Maryland man, that Democrat senator and his phony trip down to El Salvador, paid for by you, the taxpayer? We'll talk about that.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, when I opened up the show at 6:06 this morning, there was a headline that caught my eye. This was an op-ed, a guest opinion column in the Daily Interlake by three of the nine, as they're being referred to, the nine Senate Republicans in the Montana State Senate that have been voting with Democrats on rules and committee assignments and Medicaid expansion. But then they crossed another major line last week when they voted repeatedly to hike up spending to insane levels last week. They voted with the Democrats repeatedly to shoot down any amendment that would reduce these massive spending increases in the state legislature in Helena. And look, so you see this headline, and the headline says this: Republicans need to unite for Gianforte's agenda. So three of the Republicans that have been voting with Democrats in the state Senate to massively hike up spending increases that go far beyond the governor's proposed budget, are claiming that Republicans need to unite in support of Governor Gianforte's agenda. Okay, well then why don't you do what you're calling for in your op-ed? But instead, what you're doing is voting for spending that is far beyond what the governor is proposing here. And yeah, I mentioned this briefly. I saw
you know, a photograph from the governor's press conference last Thursday. He's got five bullet points on there: reduce property taxes, limit spending, cut income taxes, reform the judiciary, increase starting teacher pay. And that one looks like it's moving forward. The Democrats don't really like the starting teacher pay boost because they just want to reward the unions, and they don't want the Democrats are leery of the bill to boost entry level teacher pay because basically, as I understand it, the bill would tell these school districts, hey, if you don't boost entry-level teacher pay, you're not going to get your funding boost. And the Democrats don't like that because the Democrats like to control the system. And the Democrats, remember, have controlled the system for how many years? And why do we have the worst entry-level pay for teachers in the country? The Democrats and the Democrat Union, the MFPE. So Republicans are trying to boost entry-level teacher pay, and the Democrats are balking at that. But of these five bullet points here, the nine Republicans that have been voting with the Democrats haven't delivered on any of these five bullet points truly yet. In fact, you're undermining the governor when it comes to judicial reforms. You're undermining the governor when it comes to lowering spending and limiting spending. And how come the governor's property tax proposal isn't moving forward? How come his income tax relief proposal isn't moving forward? So if you claim that you want Republicans to unite behind the governor's agenda, then why aren't you uniting behind the governor's agenda? Let's go to John in Bozeman. John, what's your thoughts this morning?
Well, my thoughts were... You know, we have all these people moving in, and we've been building all these new dwellings to accommodate affordable living for all these people coming in. You know, they're in Bozeman. They're pretty much the only thing that's really being built are these 3 to 4 story condo units or apartments. And I guess my question is, all these people are coming in, and costing us money, but are they making up the difference in what everyone else is paying in property taxes? I guess that's my question. I mean, because they're bringing their families and children, you know, you're driving up costs of education and roads and just, you know, infrastructure, we're basically paying them to come here rather than them paying us to grow.
You're making a really good point here. You're making a really good point here. It's like it's the question that we've raised, which is, wait a minute. Okay, we see all this growth all around of us. Most of us do, unless you're in, you know, some parts of rural Montana that have struggled with population loss, right? Most of us are seeing all of this growth all around us. Well, what does that growth mean? It means more money for these cities and these counties. So if you're getting more money, why do you need more of our money? You got, you know, it's always this debate over expanding the tax rates versus expanding the tax base. Democrats always want to increase the tax rates. And Republicans talk about expanding the tax base, which, in other words, you can have more people paying for a service at a lower cost. What the Democrats want to do is have fewer people paying for the service at a higher cost. And so anyway, that's why I think, you know, to John's point here, I really like at least what I've read about this bill. Senator Daniel Zolnikoff out of Billings, State Senator Zolnikoff, has Senate Bill 117. And based off of everything I've read about this bill, this makes a lot of sense. Here's what he says. Quote, Montana is growing, especially in our larger cities where property taxes are the highest. And those new developments bring in a lot of new property tax revenue. SB 117 addresses runaway property tax increases by making sure money from all that new development is used to reduce property taxes for existing homeowners. So, yeah, basically what this property tax reform bill does is it says, okay, hey, you local governments out there that are growing, that are getting all these new taxpayers, you don't need to hammer your existing taxpayers because you've got new taxpayers putting more money into the pot. So anyway, I really like what Senator Zolnikoff did. And that bill, by the way, is headed to the governor's desk. John, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Hey, next up on the phone lines, this is great. Let's sneak him on a little early. We've got Jerry Thies on the phone lines from Billings right now. Hey, I know our listeners back the blue. You back the men and women serving in law enforcement. Jerry, you've got the upcoming an upcoming charity event to back the blue to do just that. Tell our listeners about what you got coming up.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron. It's great to be here, and thanks for having us on. On this Saturday, April 26th, we're going to have our 9th annual Red and Blue Charity Ball. It's a memorial ball in honor of a former firefighter. Actually, he served on the Billings Fire Department for over 30 years and came down with cancer and eventually succumbed to that. And as you know, firefighters are exposed to a lot of toxic chemicals, and they have a lot of instances with cancer and other things. Another firefighter that in honor of, Wade Bonner, was actually struck by a tree doing wildland firefighting at the age of 27 years old. And as a result, he spent the rest of his life in a wheelchair. So these are just local people that have dedicated their lives. And so our ball is actually to help law enforcement, firefighters, and first responders and their families in need. And so all the money that we raise goes into direct grants, and it goes to these folks from all over the region here. It's going to be at 6, the doors open at 5 o'clock p.m. Saturday at the Billings Hotel and Convention Center. And it'll include dinner, silent auction, live auction, and dancing. So it's a great time. This is our 9th year. And if you'd like to attend, let us know. We do have tickets available.
Yeah, and if folks can't make the event this weekend, I know that they not only want to back the blue, but back the red, back the firefighters, back the first responders as well. How can folks help out, even if they can't make the event this weekend?
Sure, I'll leave our number here. It's 406-426-6272. And, if they would like to help out, we sure can use their help. And, again, if they'd like to attend, get a hold of us, and we'll see about getting tickets.
Very cool. And then is there a website or a Facebook page as well, or probably just best to just give you a call?
Yes, it is. It is on Facebook. It's under the Red and Blue Ball on Facebook, locally here. So if you go into Facebook, you'll see it posted there.
All right. Well, Jerry Thies, thanks for what you're doing and your whole crew. That's great. That's the Red and Blue Memorial Charity Ball coming up this weekend. Where's the location for that again, Jerry?
Yes, Billings Hotel and Convention Center. And again, the doors will open at 5, and that's when the silent auction starts. And we'll have dinner at 6:30.
They got a beautiful new facility, by the way. I just had the honor of emceeing the Billings Christian School banquet a couple of weeks ago, and they built a beautiful new convention facility there. So I know folks will enjoy seeing that if they haven't yet. All right, Jerry Thies, great to hear from you. We got Chris in Belgrade. Chris, if you can, stay with us through the break here. We got Tommy Lahren's commentary, and then Chris in Belgrade first up on the phone lines right after this. 406-294-0970 is the number for you as well if you want to jump in on the conversation.
Fox News commentary.
Uh-oh, your cheap clothes from China might cost a little more. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next. Those with a certain affinity for cheap clothes and other items that fall apart and or smell like toxic paint might be heartbroken to hear this. Chinese online marketplace Temu and fast fashion hub Shein will raise prices on their items starting next week in response to President Trump's tariffs. Both sites are encouraging customers to get orders in now before the prices go up. Look, I think we've all been guilty of ordering cheap crap from China in the sincere but naive hope it won't be low quality or smell like paint fumes. The stuff is pretty cheap, so we've all likely been tempted to press order and hope for the best. But these online marketplaces are not only known for their low prices and low quality, but in the case of Temu, have been accused of data mining, and in the case of Shein, knocking off designers with cheap dupes. I think we'll all survive if we decrease our dependence on their products and buy elsewhere. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Fox News Audio presents the Fox Nation Investigates podcast, Evil Next Door, exploring the life and crimes of five serial predators from across the United States. Listen and follow now at foxtruecrime.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Is the city of Billings about to bust a cap on taxpayers, and is this what's holding up property tax relief? That story, MontanaTalks.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. The skies remain cloudy today. We'll see some scattered rain showers in the form of some wet snow in some areas towards Bozeman early on. High temperature readings will otherwise range from about 48 in Bozeman to the upper 50s in the Billings area. For tonight, still some possibility for a few rain showers early, then headed back in the mid-20s in Bozeman, mid-30s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Fixing the VA, making Montana's timber industry great again, plus wildfire legislation already clearing the United States Senate. Montana's newly elected U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy dropping by our Montana Talk studios. He joined us in our statewide 9 o'clock hour. We snuck in your calls and much more. If you missed it, check out the full audio on the Montana Talks app. Click the on-demand button, or you can even find the Montana Talks podcast.
Call Amber today at 670-1942 online at listwithamber.com, and you can start packing.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, now they're talking about Plan D. Not Plan B as in boy, Plan D as in Delta for property tax relief. Yeah, because the legislature is such a mess right now with Republicans voting with the Democrats. And now we're not getting any significant property tax relief or income tax relief. We're getting massive spending. That's all we're seeing thus far. But they still got time. Of course, the governor, he may have to just veto a whole pile of this stuff if that's what it's going to come down to. But what is Plan D? I'll tell you about that here in just a second. First, though, let's go back into the phone lines. Chris in Belgrade, listening to 1450 KMMS. Chris, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron. Good morning, everyone. I was just listening to your radio show and talking about tax cuts and people voting. I just want to point out the fact that both sides of the legislature here in Montana are ignoring an obvious source of revenue, and that is Senate Bill 326, which is the Montana Media Coalition Act. And what that is proposing to do is to increase our film tax incentive here in Montana to bring more movies to Montana. And it, I think what people are misunderstanding is that a lot of locals work on these films. I, being one of those people, worked on about 12 films at the Yellowstone Film Ranch. And what we're trying to do is increase our tax incentive so that we can bring more revenue to the state of Montana, and that people that work in the film industry don't have to travel around, like going to California and things like that, and giving them revenue. Instead, we would keep that revenue here in Montana. And so we had a vote last Friday. It got voted down. Tuesday is a do or die for us. And so we're hoping to get at least some of these senators that voted no to, or sorry, representatives that voted no to actually vote yes, because when these films come, not only do they employ local people, but it also, they spend money. I mean, when 1923 was filmed in Butte, I mean, they brought in around, I don't know, it's millions of dollars in revenue to local shops, restaurants,
I even saw some of the crew in Missoula. I did a bunch of events across the state last year, and I was at the cafe right next to UM, and I was talking with some guys that were part of the crew. They did 1923, like you say, in Butte, and then they did some of the Yellowstone stuff in Missoula as well. Which films did you work on?
If you watch The Old Way, you can see me get killed at the end by Nicolas Cage. I'm the guy running down the, steps. I get shot right in the guts by Nicolas Cage. Worked on that, worked on Outlaw Posse. Some of them haven't been released yet. We're working on some of them, but Unholy Trinity would have been the last film. And then I just actually did a film called The Wolf and the Lamb with Angus McFadden. All of that was filmed at the Film Ranch, and it hires... When I say we're hiring people, I mean we're hiring, you know, gaff, grip, electricians.
Yeah, all sorts of different folks. What's the Senate bill again, or what's the legislative bill again that you're encouraging people to support?
It's 326. It's called Senate Bill 326, and it's called the Montana Media Act Coalition. The Montana Media Coalition Act.
Okay, interesting.
And all we're trying to do is increase our... tax incentive. Georgia has zero.
I think, is Wiley Gault the sponsor of that one? State Senator Wiley Gault. I know he's supported the film tax credit in the past because he's the one who's got the plan D for property tax relief as well. He's talking about just freezing property tax values for 2 years if some of these other efforts don't get across the finish line. I got to ask you, we've only got about 30 seconds to go.
Sure. So
my wife sent me one of these reels, you know, on social media where this guy is just using Nicolas Cage one-liners at random people. Did Nicolas Cage have a funny one-liner for you or something before he killed you?
Not before me, but when he was getting killed, you know, the director's like, "Hey, Nick," he's like, "I think I'd like to shoot that again," and he's like, "I think we got it. He's like, "No, let's do one more," and he's like, "No, I think we got it," and that was it.
I like that approach.
Great guy, though.
We're doing it live.
He's a great guy.
We got it,
Clint
man.
Howard, great guys.
Yeah. We're taking a break. We're gonna fill up on coffee here, and then we got a whole 2 hours to go. All right, Chris, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Profit, greed, getting rich. You ask people what the problem is with healthcare, and these are the answers you often hear. Simple explanations, heroes and villains, big pharma, insurance companies, middlemen. I probably won't convince you otherwise in the next 30 seconds, but think about this. Doing well by doing good, making money by providing things of value, is the driving force of economic prosperity. To turn it around the other way, if inventing a better mousetrap does nothing to benefit the inventor, don't count on any inventing to be done. It can work that way in healthcare as well, but the incentives have to line up. And with third-party payers dominating how things are paid for in healthcare, they often don't. Worse is when incentives reward things that are actually bad. Medical providers, many of which are large companies, are rewarded from getting more money from government programs like Medicare, more complex diagnoses, more wasteful tests. Incentives are what need fixing. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.